So you knew who she was singing about, right? Joseph has always been kind of an enigma in the story because he probably had the hardest job of all. Last week, and if you weren't here, we talked about Mary, and we talked about her youth and her innocence and her acceptance to be the vessel through which the Christ consciousness came into flourishing here in the world. And Joseph had a kind of a different take on it. Joseph was a man who was older. He was established in his community, and he was engaged to marry this young woman who was suddenly pregnant. If we look at the story literally. And the scripture says in Matthew that he wanted to put her away privately, kind of hide her away, like those homes that have been here in the United States for a long time for unwed mothers, you know, send them away and say they're, you know, at camp or wherever so they can give birth to this child. And that's what Joseph's inclination was to do. But an angel came to him too and said, it's okay. There's a few more words that go with it, but basically the angel was saying, it's okay. You know, this is a very special thing and you're part of it. So can you roll with it? And Joseph said, yes. Yes, I can do that. And he did. The next thing you know, they're traveling to go pay their taxes. A pregnant lady on a donkey. Yeah, ouch. and taking care of the business of the day. So Joseph is probably, well, certainly, as important to this story as a reflection of us as Mary is. And I'm going to explain that to you in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you something else that has absolutely nothing to do with that. There is a benefit during this season that I want you not to forget about. Go do something in which you can lose yourself in the moment and be joyous and free. Go do that thing, whatever it is. So Friday night, I went to One World Theater in Austin and saw the Guess Who. Anybody out there not know who the Guess Who is? It's okay, because you're of a generation where you might not. But I would say that I was in the median age of the audience. Maybe on the young end of the audience. And let me tell you what, there was some rocking out going on. And I was one of them. I loved it. This very tall, distinguished looking gentleman with beautiful silver hair, wearing a suit jacket and suit pants and a white shirt, sat down beside me, put in his hearing aids. And when the music started, man, he jumped up and he was getting down. And when he and his wife saw that there were two empty seats on the front row, they just moved right up there so they could be right in the middle of an action. I'm pretty sure he caught a guitar pick. But I was also touched by the fact that the lyrics that the Guess Who wrote 40 to 50 years ago are still relevant today. Share the land, American woman. Just go back and listen to those lyrics and see how they were prescient even, and how in some ways we haven't moved we haven't tipped the needle too far from where we were, you know, 50 years ago in some ways. But anyway, I lost myself in the music, and go do something in which you can be fully uninhibited, because it's good for you. It'll carry you a long way. The other thing I want to say is, are you willing to have an ugly Christmas sweater Sunday? I know we've done it at least once. And so you don't have to do it, but it's more fun if you do. I think you can go someplace like Michael's or any number of places. Oh, Target. Mm-hmm. Target's got it for every member of the family, for men, women, children. You can. So what do you say we do that like on the 22nd? Okay? If you're going to be traveling, sorry, you'll miss it. But we'll try to get some pictures. So we'll get that in the announcements. Ugly Christmas sweater Sunday. It's just fun. If you can't come to church and have fun, well, there's other places you can have fun, that's for sure. But we like to have fun here, so let's do that. Okay? So back to Joseph. I wouldn't have envied him, because he was asked to commit an act of faith unlike not many others. And if we look at that whole idea of the energies that were combining, that were the angel and Mary, that were Joseph and Mary, we're looking at love and wisdom and an act of faith all combining to bring forth something that had not been before. Now, just for a reminder, remember that Jesus was born into a Jewish family. It's important for us to understand the Hebrew tradition in order to be able to understand why Jesus arriving was so important. Because Jesus eventually, when he began his ministry, told people, look, you have the law. You've got the letter of the law. That's good. Follow the letter of the law. But there is more. There's the spirit of the law. There's the reason that we do this. There's the relationship with God, personal, just for you. And these things that I do, you're going to do them also. He came to open up the realm of possibilities. He opened a portal for the rest of humanity to step through if they so choose. And I'm not saying chose, because it's still a choice to decide whether or not you're going to let your Christ spirit flourish and express through you. I want to read you something from the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary about Joseph. That he wanted to put her away privately. Here's the symbolism of that. This means that we do not, in the first stages of the birth of the Christ in us, understand the process. Remember those days when you first began part of your spiritual journey, where you had your spiritual transformation, where you had your spiritual awakening, and you didn't fully understand what was going on? We're sometimes moved to put that away from us. We don't understand it, so we want to push it to the side. The soul is heavily charged with divine life, and so full it cannot express itself intelligently yet, because no union has yet taken place between divine life and understanding divine life. Are you with me? So what this is saying is sometimes we can walk up to a transformative experience, to a deeper intimacy with another person or with ourselves or with a group of people. We can walk right up to a new spiritual discipline. We can walk right up to a push in our growth and then skitter away in fear. Anybody ever done that? We do that. We walk right up to the door of transformation and go, no, that's too scary. I don't want to do that. What will I have to give up? And that's the first thing we think. What am I going to have to give up? Our first question could be, I wonder what I'll get to take on. I wonder what it is new in me that I will be able to experience for the first time. But we don't ask that question. We always go, oh no, my life's going to change and I'm just fine the way it is. I'm miserable, but that's okay. I'd rather be miserable because that's a known thing to me than to step into transformation and experience something that is still unknown to me. Mm-hmm. Do you know, sometimes I hear from folks and they long so much to be close to people. They long so much to experience a richness and a community. And yet they've walked right up. I've watched them walk right up to that transformative experience and go, oh, I can't do that. And that's okay. That's okay. But you can't not know that you got there. You can't not know that that opportunity was available to you. And you chose to step back. So it's going to keep bugging you until you walk on through that door. You see, we have a whole community of people right here that's growing all the time. Speaking of growing all the time, if you haven't seen Indiana today, he's got on the cutest Santa hat. Mike, stand up a minute. Let's see that baby boy. There he is. Santa baby. But people long for something. They long for connection, even if they don't think they want it. We all long to be connected to other people. We all long to share an experience that's deeper than the superficial. We long to express more of the Christ in us because that's what's built into our spiritual DNA. That's it. And yet, I can't tell you how many times I've been working with people and we just get up to that thing in their lives which wounded them. And they say, you know, I really don't want to talk about that. I don't really want to deal with that because that's, I don't want to deal with it. And the reason I don't want to deal with that circle. But you see, the thing is, that thing you don't want to deal with, it's already running the show. And so it takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of faith. It takes a lot of Joseph to say, yes, I'll do this. It's scary, and yet, I will walk through this from that which I know, as uncomfortable and unfulfilling as it might be, into this unknown that has not yet revealed itself to me. Wow. So, I mean, the metaphor, the example of Joseph, we don't have to look too far. We don't have to get too metaphysical in order to see that that is a universal story for all of us. Can't you imagine Joseph saying, okay, angel, if you say so, then I will go along with this. No matter what people might say about me, no matter what people might say about her, no matter what happens, I'm going to trust in this journey and move ahead. And that's all we're asked to do. Let me tell you, you can expect this. You know, the spiritual journey doesn't mean that, gosh, we get a moment of enlightenment and we're done. Yay! Or we're going to get 12 moments of spiritual enlightenment and then we're done. Yay! What happens is we get a moment of spiritual enlightenment that we can use that transforms us. And the next thing that happens is our tendency to revert to our old way. Ask anybody who's in recovery. The first thing that happens when we say, yes, I'm willing to take on this next growth experience, is we're going to have opportunities to use that growth experience. Like that old prayer about praying for patience. And give it to me right now, because I'm getting a lot of opportunities to have to practice patience. So let's say you decided to take on, with faith, a greater kindness in your life. So guess who's going to show up in your life? People that are hard to be kind to. Maybe even yourself. The first place where kindness has to be practiced. If you say, yes, I'm willing to take this job, it's scary because I don't know if I'm up to it, but this seems to be calling to me. And then you'll get woken up in the night at about 3 o'clock just going, oh my God, what have I done? Or you'll decide to end a relationship or make a deeper commitment in a relationship. And you'll wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and go, oh my God, what have I done? I'm not the only person who's woken up at 3 o'clock in the morning and said, oh my God, what have I done? Am I? It is a natural part of it. So what we pray for is the grace to accept the moments in which we go, right. This is part of that spiritual thing that I agreed to. This is that next piece of faith that I am using to walk through a door. We get used to the uh-ohs. We get used to that second force that comes in and makes us doubt ourselves. Wow. And that's the biggest one, isn't it? But my goodness, my friends, if we didn't, what if Joseph had said no? What if Joseph would have said, this is too much for me to handle? He would have missed out on a miracle. That's a flat truth right there. He would have missed out on a miracle. If he'd said no, then for 2,000 years, the name of Joseph would not have been very important. He was that guy that missed the boat. He was that guy that said no. And you know, Jesus found that in his ministry. When he was talking to people, the rich young ruler, he didn't say, give up all your worldly goods so that you can help others. He said, would you be willing to give up your worldly goods to help others? And the young ruler said, I don't think so. Jesus said, okay, God bless you on your way. I always wondered what happened. I'd like to think that somewhere down the line he went, oh yeah. Oh yeah, Jesus said that to me once. Maybe that's a good thing for me to practice. So that faith of Joseph, it's our faith, just as the faith of Mary, the willingness to let new Christ life come together in us with wisdom and love and understanding and express. That faith is going to take us places that we couldn't imagine. Most of the time, we end up with something better than we could have engineered or prayed for. All we have to do is say yes. But it also means that we're taking risks. And we have to be willing to take a risk, because risk and faith kind of go together. So it might be engaging yourself more intimately with your family during the holidays than you might be inclined to do. What if your faith had you be totally non-resistant to that family member that gets under your skin? That would take the faith of Joseph, wouldn't it? And you know what? You can just carry a little piece of paper that says Joseph on it, put it in your pocket, you know, or get a little penny that's your Joseph penny and put it in your pocket. And when that person starts getting on your nerves, you stick your hand in your pocket and you go, okay, Joseph, let's handle this, dude. I've got one. I'm going to keep that penny in my pocket. You know I am. So it can be stepping into our new growth. It can be accepting the unknown. It can be living in the question. Oh, it's hard for us to live in the question, isn't it? We seek and we cast around for answers all the time. What's the solution? Give it to me right now. No, it has to come into fruition. Events and circumstances arrange themselves for your highest good. You know that's true. So we take risks to be our authentic self, no matter where we are, no matter who we're with. We don't adjust ourselves to accommodate other people. We live our Christ life no matter what. We take risks and we use our faith in how we extend our love to other people. We take risks and we use our faith in how we give. You know, we're afraid sometimes to give at church, because we're afraid we're not going to have enough for ourselves left over. And that's the exact opposite of what we are taught. And it's the exact opposite of what is true. And I'll say to you that one of the acts of faith in tithing is knowing that the 90% that you have left will go farther than the 100% that you were holding on to. And it works. It works. But you don't know if it works until you try it yourself. And you have to ask yourself, gosh, am I willing to have abundance in my life? Am I willing to take the risk of giving? And if you find yourself saying, no, I don't think I want more abundance in my life. I don't think I want more friends, greater experiences, more illumination, more of what I need. So we have to ask ourselves that. Where is our faith being stretched next? If Joseph could do it, I bet we can do it. Okay, now everybody look at me. Everybody look at me. And take a nice deep breath on this. Because all of these gifts that we're talking about in this season, exist within us, expressing to various degrees at all times. That is the truth of you. That is the truth of you. So let it flow. Let it go. The movie's out. If you have grandchildren, especially grandgirls, yeah. Frozen 2, that's what I'm talking about. Okay, let it go. Okay, never mind. Okay, good, thank you. So just remember Joseph, the man who said yes. The man who said, man, I don't understand this, and I don't know what this is going to look like, and I have a lot to lose, and I'm saying yes anyway. If you know right now of something that is putting you in that place, just put your hand up right now. Okay, now look around. Look around, keep your hand up. So you are not alone. None of us are alone in this. And maybe the one thing that you need to do is extend yourself to another person and say, man, this is all over me right now, and I don't know how I'm going to deal with it, but I need to deal with it, and I want to share it with you because I'm going to say it out loud, and I'm going to say yes, and I need somebody to be witness to my growth and my faith and the risk that I'm taking in order to see more of God in my life. And you know that companion of yours will say, bring it on. I will listen. I will be your witness. I will stand with you. I will be your companion. And you can be that to another. And if the thought of that just scares the ever-loving everything out of you, that means you have to. One safe person. And I can tell you, Spirit will put that person right in front of you. So you can say, okay, here's my big dang deal. I'm ready to say yes. So I'll tell you what. Let's just take whatever that thing is right into here. And if today was a spiritual challenge for you, then I've done my job. And Spirit has done Spirit's job. And the waters, even now, are moving within you. You jump right in that river and swim. Actually, jump right in that river and float. And if you've been swimming upstream, it's time to let go. Because the great Spirit of the universe, the creator of all, the God that is bigger than we can imagine, and the God that is so intimate, it lives in our next breath, is right there holding you. Just like it held Mary and Joseph and that little baby. That not yet fully realized Christ consciousness about to come into the world. About to come into your life. Oh, beloved, love is your compass. There's light on your way. That star that shone so brightly that one night, that astronomical phenomenon, is a light that still burns, showing you. Whatever your challenge is today that requires your greatest faith, embrace it. Know that all is well. Know that all is well before you even take the next step. And beloved, keep breathing. Keep breathing. Let the life of God expand through your body. Just as the life of spirit expands your life experience. Just in the blink of an eye, join yourself consciously and deliberately with the One and give yourself over in faith. It's the greatest act of intimacy and wisdom and understanding and love and hope that you can do. And be not afraid. For spirit is in everything. And all is well. All is well. All is well. And so it is.